but praise God. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, to Deuteronomy 8:18. We stand as a church on the cusp of something big. I don't know if that's the right word, or the edge of something great. And I don't know if you can sense it like I sense it, but we are on the edge of something. I mean, God's been showing us something, and we've been learning, and we've been going along. And last year, you know, we produced the DVDs and the I Give Life course, and now we're taking it to other places. But what God has been showing our pastors is bigger than what we collectively do sometimes with our money. What I'm saying is it's going to cost more to finance it than what we've collected so far in tithes and offerings. And when I say that, I mean it because, and I mean this, I heard Oral Roberts say years ago that he had a man who tapped into, I think it was his ministry, who was a businessman who'd been struggling, and God had told him to start going to Oral Roberts meetings and start contributing to Oral Roberts and supporting him in his ministry, and the guy did this for a number of years, and so he later said, you know, I think I've found a secret. If I find a minister with a vision that's big, that bigger than what he can do himself, and I commit myself and my finances and my life to helping that minister fulfill the vision that God's given him, then God will make me a rich man to fulfill it. This is what, and that's not my story. I'm just telling you this is what somebody else, I heard Oral Roberts say that years ago. But when we were reading this verse a few weeks ago, Pastor Matt read this verse, this is Deuteronomy 8:18. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to put... Now, I don't know what translation I'm reading this one out of. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power, is how New King James says it, the power to get wealth. This translation says gives you the ability to produce wealth so that he and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is this day. One translation said that he gives you the power to be successful. And when I say that, and when he was reading that and he talked about power, this word power, we know what the word power is from Acts 1:8. We've looked at that. It's the dunamis is the word it comes from. It's the dynamo. It's this dynamite power, explosive power, miraculous in its working power. It's just really the same word. He gives us this power to get, and not really to get wealth. The to get words really could be best said to create, to produce. It's really to it's from inside of us, not something that we try to get. It's not that we try to get exterior, you know, out there. It's something inside of us. We have this power inside of us to produce wealth. And he said to us, wealth was well-being. One translation of it could be well-being. That is, and really, it's well-being in every area of our lives. So if God's given us the power, the ability to create well-being in every area of our lives, I'm a little short tonight on my well-being. Are you? I mean, when I received the offering Sunday, I said that God opens the windows of heaven. This is a promise. God said for us to prove him in this, that he will open the windows of heaven and pour out upon us. There's not blessing. There's not room enough for us to contain. And I thought to myself, I've got plenty of room. Now, I don't know about you at your house, but at my house, I got plenty of room. I have not contained nearly enough. But I'm a tither. I am a tither. And I know the problem is not on God's side. Right? The problem's on God's side. And what I said a moment ago about this church and about the vision and mission of this church, and it's not just, it is us who are here tonight. It's the people who come on Sunday mornings. It's the ones who attend occasionally, but they still identify with Good News Church as their church. It's also this community these two states, South Carolina, Georgia, but really it's beyond that. With the I Give Life course, it is the world. And the people on the I Give Life, what do we call it, I Give Life Network, where they they ate dinner last night with Jim and Jan Newton, who Jim says, it's really, he said this to our pastors, I think he even said it in this church, that it's his life pursuit at this point to get this I Give Life course out to as many people as he can. It's like he's taking this on to be his thing. And he wants to raise up 1 million believers to reach the world. Well, you know, Pastor Matt probably didn't even think that when we were making the I Give Life course last year. But, you know, that kind of makes your brain go tilt. Well, I'm saying, and there will be other people do it, but wouldn't you like to be one of the ones who supplies the need? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like to use your God-given dunamis power that's inside of you to create enough well-being in every area of your life that there's overflow, that it flows out in good news, and we can get this message to other people? I would like that to be me. I really would. And I really would like it to be you. I really would. I want it to be us. Well, and it's not on God's side. So it falls back then. In this situation, there's God and there's me. And there's God and there's you. Now, when Neil was reading his verse tonight, he didn't know what my message was going to be on, but I thought it was an interesting selection of verses. And that was a trivia question that I knew the answer to because it's Psalms 118:8. And see, it's 1188. So I knew the answer to that. That's how I knew it. But... So it's better to trust in the Lord than in put your confidence in men. But when he said that, this is what I heard. It's better to put your trust in the Lord than put your confidence in me or you. Because really, that's where we are, most of us. We're not just got our confidence in men. We've been burned by men enough time that we don't put our confidence in them there very often. We do, but we don't. But who we do put our confidence in so many times and for the wrong reasons is in ourselves. And we should not. We should be putting our trust in the Lord in all things. And when, particularly when he has said to us so many times things about our blessing, our prosperity, and there's a great mission and vision here that we are part of. That we can actually step into a better place, a bigger place, or take it up a notch. Would y'all like to do that? So would I. Okay, so this is really not where we're living in Deuteronomy 8:18. We can just admit that. But it is where we should be. This is where we should be producing, creating well-being in every area of our life until it overflows. Right? That's really where we should be. Really, and the part about having more than enough, I mean, one of the names of God is El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. That's the God we serve. So it's not on God's side. You know, we believe that when we pray with somebody, when you say this in this prayer, that they get saved. Now, we've had people argue with us through the years that they don't get saved. But if somebody prays a prayer of salvation with you or with me and we ask them, do they mean it? And they say yes, that's all we can do at that point. We have to just trust God with the rest of that. Right? We also believe, as a church, we've gotten really good at this in the past few years, is that when we put our hands on the sick, that they will recover. We've actually learned better, probably in the last 2 or 3 years, how we are not to pray and ask God to do something, but that we, as a believer, based on what his word says, we can take authority over the sickness, disease, infirmity, abnormality, malfunction, whatever it is, and command it to go. And we have seen that happen. Our children have done that on the streets. We've done that. And so those things are things we believe. But yet when it comes down to our finances and our prosperity, our personal well-being in every area of our lives, we still look to ourselves and trust in us. Right? We should make this as big in us as those other two things I just mentioned. This should be as big in us as that. It's as much of a sign of God when you and I, because of the power of God that's in us, produce well-being, produce wealth through an idea, through a concept, through something that you and I don't have. Because you know I can't heal anybody, but yet God in me. I can't save anybody, but yet God in me. Well, you and I, we can't finance this thing, but God in us, we can. Right? Okay. So the problem is we just don't trust God. Now, we trust him with our salvation. We really trust him to a limit. My dad used to say this. He said something about a place, when you get to the place. We used to get to a place where we trust God to a certain place. But then that's as far as we go. And beyond that, we trust, you know, I trust me more than I trust him, which is ridiculous. You know, we should be trusting God. But really, what we've done is we've made our jobs our sources, and we made the world and its system our source and not God. Let me ask you a question here. Who here tonight has a job right now? Okay, got a job. And then some of you, I know, want a job, right? Some of the rest, it's so interesting. You know, God is really interested in us having a job. I've had several times in my life where I've done strange things. And 2 years in 1997, 98, 99, I fed the homeless. And it was a transformation time for me, because if you met me in 1994 or 1993, I was hard. I didn't care about a lot of people. I was just really a hard nut and a hard knot. But I spent a few years feeding the homeless, and it wasn't long really out there feeding the homeless people that it wasn't long before I was praying with them. People who hadn't had a bath in a long time, we'd be hugging. I'd be giving them the sandwich and the drink. You know, one day we were out there, and we made an announcement, who here wants a job? Now, you would think out of a couple hundred homeless people that we'd had a lot of people come up and want a job, but we only had 8. So we stood in a circle, we all held hands, and we prayed for them to get a job. We went back 2 weeks later, and all but 3 had gotten a job. Now, I know God wants you to have a job. God wants you to have a job. But we've looked at our job so much of the time as the source of our living, when the Bible specifically says that our job is not the source of our living, but our job should be the source of our giving. Oh, now I know you don't believe that, but here you go. Look at this in this verse. This is Ephesians 4:28. And this is Paul writing. He says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. So our job shouldn't be the source of our living. Our job should really be the source of our giving. Our living should come from the abundance and the return and the overflow of our giving. We've been looking at it wrong. We've been looking at our jobs as our source. Now, again, we say in church we trust God. We just sang a song that we said we trust God. And we do trust God. We trust him to a certain level. We trust him to a certain place. But I'm going to get up in the morning, and I'm going to go to my job. You're going to get up and go to your job. And we look to our jobs to pay our bills. We look to our jobs for stuff like that. But really, it's not our source. It is not our source. God is our source. Our job is so that we have something to give. So tonight, I'm going to dare you to quit your job tomorrow. No, I'm not kidding. I'm going to dare you to quit your job. Now, I'm not daring you to quit working. I'm not daring you to keep doing what you're doing, go to the place you're going to go tomorrow, like I'm going to go to my place tomorrow. But I'm quitting my job tonight, and here's how I'm quitting it. I'm quitting my job tonight as my source of supply. My job is no longer the source of my supply, and I dare you to quit your job and making it the source of your supply. I double dog dare you. Instead, I want you to go tomorrow where you would go, and if you don't have a place, go with the favor of God on you and get a job so that you can have something to give. Not to live, but something to give. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Because the job, just draw the line. When I played golf with Pastor Man, I learned this from him a long time ago because I've known him for a whole bunch of years and long before he's ever a pastor. So we were playing golf, and whenever we play golf, you play 18 holes, and there's always a hole we get to where we just are ready to start over. So he taught me this thing where we draw a line on the scorecard. And I'd never heard of that before. And he would draw with his pencil this line on the scorecard, and the next hole we would start all over. Well, that's really what we're doing tonight, is we're going to draw a line on the scorecard, and tomorrow morning you're going to start all over. Because your job is not your source. God is your source. Your job is just providing something for you to give, have to give. So here's what you're going to do. This is tricky, I know. But this is what I want you to do. Turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians 3, 22. Now, Pastor Matt, he taught me something a long time ago. He taught the church. He said, it's just his rules. But if you come to my place of business, and if you're an employee of mine, you'll see this two or three times. I have it on the refrigerator. I have it on the back door of the bathroom coming out for the employees. I have it several places throughout the place of business because I've got five rules for success at where I work. And I got these from Pastor Matt. These are Pastor Matt's rules. I don't know where he got them from. He may have made them up. Rule number one, when you have a job that's, you know, going to provide for your giving, rule number one is to show up. You would not believe. We've got almost 9% unemployment in Augusta. You wouldn't believe how many, I am an employer. You wouldn't believe how many times I offer someone a job and they don't do rule number one. And we need employees, and they don't even do rule number one, which is give them the job, and they won't do number one, show up. So you have to show up. So tomorrow morning, or tomorrow tonight, whenever you are scheduled next, do number one, show up. Number two of Pastor Matt's rules is be on time. People are counting on you. Be on time. We do have people who do number one sometimes, but they don't do number two. They won't be on time. It infuriates some of us at work. I won't say who. But they're sitting on the front row. Because they won't do the number two, which is be on time. Number three is work hard. Again, since the invention of smartphones and telephones, it's amazing how I'm paying for someone to work a job with two hands and a brain, and right? It's amazing how much work they do with one hand like this, or what they're doing like this. They should outlaw those things on the job. If you're an employer, that's how you feel. Because people, they shouldn't be. Because people don't work hard anymore. But rule number three is work hard. Rule number four is think. This also goes with rule number three. The people, sometimes they don't work hard, and then they don't think. I had a guy last week, almost had a catastrophe one day last week at my place of business because we were just doing a simple inventory check, checking the numbers on boxes, and the guy needed to get up on the box up top, and I'm looking to get this box number down, and he pushes the box off on me. He pushed the box. hit me on the back of my head, and my face left an imprint on the box below it. I mean, it just, you could see my glasses came off. There was a sweat print right there on that box where my face hit it. Because people don't think. They don't use their brains. I didn't fire him, but he did quit. I did not fire him, but he did quit, which was satisfactory to me. Number five, after you show up, you're on time, you're working hard, and you're thinking, number five of Pastor Matt's rules is have a good attitude. It's amazing the people, us included now, us in this church, this holy sanctuary of Good News Church. How many of us in here, when we go to our jobs, we don't have a good attitude about our boss, about the job, about the stuff that's going on the job. We like to talk about other people. We do all this stuff because we don't have a good attitude. The Bible deals with us in this verse we're about to read, Colossians 3:22. Now, this is talking about us. Now, it's going to say a word here, and depends on which translation they put up. One word says slaves, another word says bond servants, another word says servants. But I looked at this verse and looked at the definition of these words, and this really is talking about us. It's talking about somebody who is working for or employed by or somebody who's under someone else. Now, I'm not a slave in chains, but I'm a servant. I was a servant for a bunch of years in my family business. When you show up on the job, you're a servant because you're under their mission. You're under their deal. So it is talking about us. It says, servants, do what you're told by your earthly masters. Don't just do the minimum that will get you by. Do your best. Work from the heart for your real master, for God, confident that you'll get paid in full when you come into your inheritance. Now, I'm reading this, I guess it's out of the Message translation. It says, keep in mind always that the ultimate master you're serving is Christ. The sullen servant who does shoddy work will be held responsible. Being a follower of Jesus does not cover up bad work. So, y'all get the picture? So, quit your job. Your job is not your source anyway. Quit your job. But tomorrow when you go to work, because you should work, the Bible says in one place, I didn't look this up, but it says, you know, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. That's Eddie's translation. It's a little loose, but that's really, it says the same thing. It's the same meaning. If you're not going to be working, doing something, you don't shouldn't be eating. You know, we shouldn't have to be taking care of you. But when you show up tomorrow, do your job unto God. Do it like God is there watching you, coaching you, instructing you to do it. It changes your attitude. It changes what you think about your earthly master, your boss. It changes what you think about your coworkers. It changes, really, when you think about who you are on the job, because you're there, really, if you think about it for just a moment, Christ is in you, the hope of glory, He's in you. There are people who you work with who are lost and going to go to hell. There are also people who you work with who are struggling in all kind of areas of their life. You and I are believing that we are filled to the full with well-being in every area of our life, that God has blessed us, right? And He is blessing us. So take that job opportunity. It's going to bring money to you, which is going to help you give, not so you live, but then take your time and your efforts and be a minister on the job. Look for people to minister to. Look for people to help. Instead of going at it and looking at it in some other way where you're working for the man and nobody really likes the man. You know? You know what I'm saying when I say the man? Let's get out of the system, the world system, and let's do our jobs like we're doing them for God. Let's work for God. Because if we put it in that attitude and put it in that perspective, the Bible says plainly that He will reward us. He's going to reward us. Well, one, we know that if we work with our hands, that we'll have enough to eat. Okay, that's a given. That's kind of a loose reversal of that verse I had a loose translation of a moment ago. So if I do work with my hands, I will be able to eat. I also know that I have to give. And I know that if I give, it is given unto me, pressed down, shaken together, and run over, shall men give unto my bosom. Right? So, I mean, there's so many positives on that side. So I'm not going to sweat the system or the man. I'm going to serve. I'm going to serve this earthly master like I'm serving God. I'm going to do my job above and beyond. And what I refer to as the secret weapon, which is the Holy Spirit who indwells all of us. The Holy Spirit's in us, right? That same dunamis power that produces, creates wealth, well-being, it, that same thing, the Holy Spirit inside of us shows, this is John 14, 15, 16, he shows us things to come. He brings divine secrets to us. He brings all things into our remembrance. So really, on the job tomorrow, you become the problem solver, not the problem complainer. You're not the problem finder, the problem maker. You're the problem solver. Years ago, Clyde Malta McGee, they were friends of my mom and dad's for years back. Clyde McGee, I think he passed in 2006. When he passed, his obituary said that he launched more communication satellites than any other engineer for NASA and or Hughes Communication, the company he worked for. Years ago, though, in the early days of satellite, and satellite is what we all, you know, we got these smartphones, got all this stuff, everything is satellite now, right? But he was on the cutting edge of that. He was an educated man. But he was on the team that launched some satellites up in space, and there was a day they lost the satellite. They just couldn't find it. They knew it was there, but they had lost it on all their equipment, all their screens. They couldn't see it. They didn't know where it was. Clyde is the head of the team who's responsible for this multi-million dollar piece of equipment that's up in space. Clyde went on lunch break, and he went home. And he told his wife, Martha, he says, we've lost the satellite. I'll be in here, I'm going to pray. So he went and laid on the sofa. She walked around the sofa, and both of them prayed in the Spirit, prayed in the Holy Ghost, prayed in tongues for a period of time. And then it came to Clyde. What he needed to do, he got back up off the sofa, went back to work, and did some little something on the equipment, their equipment, and there it was. They found the satellite. Clyde was a problem solver. Now, Pastor Matt tells a story about when he was working at Federal Paper Board before it became International Paper, that he had a situation on his job where they ran into a problem. And he's the youngster on the comptrolling team, you know, the accounting team. And he went to the bathroom and spent some time praying in the bathroom. And God showed him what to do. And he went back and fixed it. And he was the problem solver. You see, as an employer, I can tell you that employers are looking for employees who can solve problems. That's the number one thing we look for, is problem solvers. Now, I can't say on my employment application, are you baptized in the Holy Ghost? Are you aware of the problem-solving power that's on the inside of you? I can't really say that on my application. If I did, they'd probably be protesting in front of my place of business. You know, they'd be boycotting me for some reason. But I'm telling you that you, as a believer, us here at Good News Church, we got this problem-solving, Holy Spirit, miracle-working on the inside of us. That ability comes from God. That super exceeds what you can think and what you can do yourself. It's where you no longer trust in me or you, but you trust in him who is in you. And you step beyond where you're at into where he created you to be. Because, see, that's who we are to be. That is just another example of my God is alive. Jesus is real. Because this idea came from him. And I've had it happen to me many times. I get into a situation and I need an answer from God. And God's got it. So tomorrow, when you show up at work, before you get there, I want you to ask yourself these questions. God, what do you want me to do today? What problem do you want me to solve today? What idea, concept, insight, what is it you need to get into this hospital, the army? What is it you need to get into the sales force? What is it that you need to get? What truth do you need imparted here today? What can you do through me? How about this one? What miracle of increase do you want me to do today? Because we believe in the miracle of salvation. We believe in the miracle of healing. What miracle of increase do you want me to do today? Now, whether that's at my house, whether it's at my job, whether it's at the soccer field, wherever it is, what is it, God? Because today I'm working for you. I'm not trusting in me anymore. I'm not working for my living, but today I'm working for a giving, and my giving is what produces my living. But what am I? What is it you want me to do today? It totally changes your perspective. Follow what I'm saying? It makes it totally different. You don't look at the situation anymore. Now when the problem happens, the situation comes up, and everybody panics, or they freak out, or they do what, there's all the drama, which I hate drama, but all the drama of the stuff, you look to the inside for the answer to the problem. You look for the solution. And if you need to go out and smoke a cigarette in your car, if you got to, I'm not a smoker, but hey, if I got to go out the back door and stand with the smokers and get away from the problem for a moment so I can look inside to see the solution, because the solution's on the inside of you. It's in there. God's in there. It's in there. But are we paying attention to it? Are we listening to it? Whatever you got to do, go do that so that you can solve the problem, because there is a bonus. There is increase. There is a pay raise. There is something positive for you on the end of a solution that you've come up with. There always is. We see examples in the Bible. We see examples in real life. But when people solve the problems, they're on their way up. And guys, we are on our way up. We're on our way up. That's where we're going. We're going up. Okay. So today, here's what you say. Today, God, I will be open to you. I will hear your voice. I will be led by your Spirit. I will be open to prosper, to increase, and I will do it so that I can be a blessing to someone else. Now, we know that's true because the Bible tells us that God wants us to be a blessing, right? He wants us to be a blessing. He said, we talk about the blessings of Abraham. We talk about Abraham being the father of our faith. But God said to him in Genesis 12:2 that he said that Abram, he says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. God's blessing for you is not just for you. I think we understand that here at Good News. God's blessing for you is not just for you. This power that he's endued in you by his Holy Spirit to produce, to create well-being is not only for you. It's for other people. He wants to reach other people through you. Now, every one of us in here, we have people in our lives that Pastor Matt will never meet. We got people in our lives that the others in this church won't meet. But there is a way that you can show the love of God, show the power of God, show the grace of God, show the mercy of God, and it's by being a blessing to others. Now, so that blessing is meant to flow through you, not just flow into you. God never was intending for us to be sitting there and just soaking up all the blessing and us living in all the blessing and me driving the biggest car, living in the biggest house, doing all the biggest stuff, and my the people around me, people I love, people I care for, in poverty or in lack. That's not God's plan. That's not it. And this message where we're to be blessed, really, you cannot say, I'm blessed. I hear people say this all the time. They say, you say, how you doing? Oh, I'm blessed. Well, that's good. But they miss the part that's equally attached to that. It's one sentence. I'm blessed to be a blessing. It's one sentence. The purpose of me being blessed is so I can be a blessing. Me just being blessed by itself is halfway. It's not the deal. I'm blessed to be a blessing. So as we're tapping into all this creative power that's inside of us, we're to be a blessing, and it should be flowing through us because God wants us to be a blessing. Are you with me so far? So I know I've said a couple things. I may have gotten out of order of my notes, but it's okay. But God wants us to be a blessing. We're blessed to be a blessing. So when Pastor Nate was talking Sunday, he said something about what do we have. I don't know what, you know what, he may not have said it, but I heard him say it. Have you ever been in a service and you're writing notes and, I swore he said it, but he probably didn't say it. But so many times when we're being a blessing, we despise what we have to be a blessing with. We don't look to see what we got in our hands. We don't look to see what we got. Every one of us can, right where you are, starting right now, you are a blessing to someone. You should be blessing others. And you, even if you don't, if you like what I said in the beginning, I got plenty of room in my house, you know, to contain the blessing. But as an act of faith, instead of waiting until I got too much, how about as an act of my faith, because I believe the Word of God, I'm going to step out and bless with where I'm at and with what I got. You follow what I'm saying? I'm going to start with where I am with what I got, and I'm going to be a blessing with that, because I'm, again, not trusting in me any longer. I'm not trusting in my job as my source. I am trusting in God. And if He said He's going to bless me to be a blessing, then I've got something already that He has blessed me with, but it stopped with me, and I should look around and see what I got so that I can be a blessing to someone else. Let me hold up my end of the bargain by being a blessing, and now I've got room, whatever room that was, I've got room to be blessed some more. And if I keep it going, if I start it going, I can get the flow going. You follow what I'm saying? So where are we at? Where are you at with what you got? Can you be a blessing with what you got? I mean, if you think about, here's the scripture. This is Proverbs 11, 24 through 28. It says, give freely and become more wealthy. This is New Living Translation. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. People curse those who hoard their grain, but they bless the one who sells in time of need. Verse 28. Trust in your money and down you go, but the godly flourish like leaves in spring. Where are you at? What do you have in your possession right now that God's blessed you with? I mean, if you're like me, you'd have to say that, I mean, really, everything I got came from God, right? so you want to be a blessing. Word of caution. A few years back, I was talking along this line to an employee of mine and someone who was struggling in their life. Not meeting, you know, the ends not meeting, bills not getting paid, a lot of trouble going on. But they had a few dollars. And I remember walking out of the store one night, and we just had a conversation about being a blessing. I mean, we had just had a conversation about being a blessing. And so I'm walking to my car, they're walking to their car, and somebody rides through the parking lot in a pickup truck and flags him down and rolls down the window, and I see him do this. I see him reach into his pocket to pull out his wallet, and I hollered out his name. And I did like this. So he looked at me, and I did like this, because I'm about 100 feet from him. But I said, come here. So he came over to me, and I said, what are you doing? He said, I want to be a blessing. I want to sow seed. You know, I want to be a blessing. God's blessed me. I want to be a blessing. I said, let me ask you one question before you do that. Did they pick you, or did you pick them? Which way happened? And he stood there and thought for a moment. He said, they picked me. I said, well, why don't you let God show you who to bless? And you bless who God shows you. So he went, put his wallet back in his pocket. He went and got in his car. And other people in the pickup truck, whose story could have been legitimate, but I've heard the story 100 times. You know, they just need a few dollars to get home or whatever. They'll find somebody else. But when it comes to you and your blessing, let God direct you. Pay attention to Him. Don't let circumstances or the world direct you. Okay? Let God direct you. Let Him put it on your heart who He wants you to bless. Let Him direct you. I have found through many years of doing this that when I let God direct me, I get bigger and better harvest. I get bigger and better return. That the blessing comes back to me. I've also found, and I have really given, and I'm ashamed to say, thousands of dollars in places that somebody picked me, and I can't attribute any return to it at all. I got stories I could tell you, but Gary won't let me because I'm out of time almost already. But word of caution is you let God direct your giving. Let God direct your blessing, okay? So really, when you get down to it, I got one last point and I'll finish up. We all have issues. We all have situations. We all have problems. But if you take your eyes off of you and your stuff and you and your problems and you look out amongst out there, let God direct you and show you who to be a blessing to. Let God direct you and show you what He wants you to do. Then He's able to flow through you. What it does is it changes your perspective. When I'm looking at all my stuff and all my problems and all my bills, it can get to be a huge mountain because I'm getting so focused on it. But when I take my eyes off that and I look and see who God wants me to bless and see who God wants me to help, I take my eyes off of me and I put my eyes on them. And then the other thing I have to do, because I can't do it by myself. I can't do what God's asking me to do. I've got to trust Him. So when I reach out to be a blessing to them with the other hand, I'm really reaching up to connect to God. Because that's where my blessing comes from. And what happens is it flows through me to them. And when it does that, my deals get smaller. My deals get taken care of. My deals aren't the big mountain that they used to be. Because I've trusted God, who's blessing me, to be a blessing to someone else. And when I do that, my stuff gets taken care of. Because I'm stepping into the flow of the blessing. It's flowing through me. Flowing from Him to me, through me to them. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Take your eyes off of you. Put your eyes on Him and on who He wants you to be a blessing to. And when you do that, it flows through you. So, and there's all kinds of examples we could talk about in the Bible. Gary won't let me. So you choose who you sow your seed. You listen to God. He'll instruct you. Okay, so here we are finishing up with these last points. Trust God. Expect ideas, concepts, insights, solutions to problems to come through you. Come through you. They come through you. They come in here to there through you. They come from Him, but they come through you. Work for God on the job, not for anyone else. You work for God on the job, and you trust Him that He's going to do, He's going to take care of you, like He said in His Word. Live on the harvest of your giving. Live on the harvest of all your giving. Your blessing, live on the harvest of that. You cannot give and it not be given back to you, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. Men, others will give unto you. It's a law from God. And then, be a blessing to others. Be a blessing to others. You know, there was a plane crash today in Birmingham. A plane crash, and a couple of people died. It's in Birmingham. I know where the airport is. I ride by it on a frequent basis. But just because that plane crashed does not mean planes won't fly. One plane flying tonight proves that planes fly. Just because you did this once and it didn't work doesn't mean it doesn't work. It working one time for the boy with the loaves and the fish proves that it works. It working one time for the woman who didn't have enough stuff in her house to eat and she took her eyes off of herself when the man of God said, "Can you just fix me a cake first? I know you're gathering up some sticks to go cook a meal for you and your boys, and you're going to go in and eat it and die, but could you just cook me a cake first? Just do me one first." Made her take her eyes off of herself and put her eyes on someone else, and she was blessed to be a blessing. And they ate on that little bit of cruise, little bit of meal for over a year. That working that one time proves that it works, it will work, and it will work for you. Okay? God has got something great for this church to do. And God wants to do it through you. He wants to use you in a way you've never been used before. Beyond what you've ever thought. Beyond what you've ever dreamed. Beyond that. He wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing to others. It's not on His side. It's on our side. We haven't trusted Him. We haven't trusted Him. Let's make that decision to trust Him tonight. Let's make that decision that we're going to go whole hog, as they say, whatever that means. I don't know what that means. But let's make that decision to go all the way. What does that mean? All these expressions we say in the South, let's just make a decision we're going to go with God. We're going to trust Him. Can we do that? All right, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to pray. What I'm going to pray is that we're going to trust Him. Okay? That's what I'm going to pray. So y'all just agree with me in my prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your Word. We just thank You for the truths that are in Your Word. We tonight repent from not trusting You enough already. Heavenly Father, we repent of that we haven't trusted You. We haven't trusted Your Word. But tonight, Heavenly Father, we're drawing a line on the scorecard, and we say tonight, we trust You. It is better that we put our trust in You than have confidence in men, and it is much better that we put our trust in You than it is to have confidence in ourselves. We do unto You, when we go to our job tomorrow, we work as we're working for You. those of us who need a job, Heavenly Father, we're going to work like we're working for you, and people will hire us, and we expect ideas, insights, concepts, solutions to people's problems to come through us. And on the backside of that, Heavenly Father, we know what that means. Bonuses, raises, promotions. But we're blessed for the purpose of being a blessing. And we will be a blessing. We look at what we have in our hands. We look at what we have right now. And we give. And we give. And we give. And we make room for more blessing to come. Because we know that as we give, it is given unto us. Pressed down, shaken together, and run over. Heavenly Father, we are just throwing ourselves over on you, fully trusting you to provide for everything that we have need of today and everything that you've got planned for us tomorrow. Good things, great things are in store for us at Good News Church, and we thank you for them. In the name of Jesus, amen.